Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today, based on the life of a Czechoslovak rabbi now in America, is entitled An Ordinary Megillah and is an original dramatization by Arnold Pearl. The narrator is Alexander Scorby, and Miller is played by Roger DeCoven.
Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, that is, Ahasuerus who reigned from India unto Ethiopia, that the king did promote Haman and advanced him above all his princes, and they bowed down and prostrated themselves before Haman.
These are the words with which the Megillah of Purim begins, the scroll of Esther.
And Mordecai wrote unto all the Jews that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same.
But this is not the 14th day of Adar or the 15th. Why then, you ask, do we talk of the Purim Megillah today, already 3 days late? Because perhaps we must at all times, and especially today, renew our beliefs. Or, when you read it, perhaps, the Purim Megillah, you thought only of Shushan, the city of Mordecai, and not of today. Perhaps it was evening, and you were tired, and there was marketing that day, the children had cold, Rachel a fever of 104. And you did not think, there is never a time the story of Esther should not be read. And then another reason. This is a particular Megillah, this. The story of a Megillah in the fifth decade of the 20th century. Rabbi Miller's Megillah. Now, the Megillah was an old Megillah written in the hand of a famous scribe in the time of the grandfather's father of Rabbi Miller of Senets, Czechoslovakia, a little village near Pressburg. And the words, as you have heard, were the words of all Purim Megillahs. It was in all respects an ordinary Megillah. But that Purim there in Senets a few years back, a decade, it was read with a special joy. It was a Purim of Hormentash and laughter, of Shoshanus Yaakov, the song of the rejoicing of the house of Jacob. A Purim of friendly warmth and groggers. What are groggers? Groggers, please. Unfamiliar? I'll show you how it works. Rita.
Ready.
All right, demonstration, please.
Then Esther said, Let the king and Haman come to a banquet, which I shall prepare. And in the king's gate stood Mordecai, and he stood not up nor moved. And Haman was filled... He was filled with wrath against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refreshed himself... But instead went home, and Haman fetched his friends.
A noise that shows we don't like Haman. Clear. Good. It was, I said, a Purim of Hormentash and groggers and laughter and triumph. A happy Purim. Well, who knew in Senets that Purim the events of the next few years? Not Rabbi Miller, certainly.
Rivola, wife of Naphtali, you're well named.
Thank you, Rabbi Miller.
Rivola the Sweet. You're an artist, an absolute artist.
You like them?
Believe me, such Purim sweetmeats I never tasted. Oh. A genius, an absolute genius.
You didn't hear what Naphtali said, my husband Naphtali?
He complained?
He said to me only this morning,
Rivola the sweet you are. Why couldn't you be Rivola the baker?
Meaning what?
Meaning, why can't I make the challah, the Sabbath bread, like I make Purim cake?
It would be nice.
Oh, he means more, however. Why can't I make sponge cake and knishes and potato latkes? Why only Purim cake?
Rivola, tell him for me. Ask him. If the moon is not also the sun, is the moon any the less?
It was still possible to celebrate a happy Purim. But July of 1940 was different. July was Haman's month. July was the month of occupation. July, the 20th century Haman took over Senates, took over half of Europe. The order was the new order, the proclamation simple. To the women, go, disperse, disappear, die, do so immediately. To the men, 1 hour with your family, then the forced labor camps. A man, 40, and his wife. 1 hour. A man named Rabbi Max Miller and his wife, Sarah.
All the furniture, Max.
Leave it, and the books.
The books. All the books, the Bible, the Mishnah, the Talmud.
Can you carry them, Sarah?
No, but maybe some.
Where I'm going, some food, and that's all.
I could carry more than...
Abraham, Moshe, Chaim, Rose, Yitzhak, 5 children are enough to carry, and the little one's 6 months old.
And you? The Megillah.
I'm taking the Megillah.
They'll take it from you. They'll beat you.
I'm taking it.
It isn't bad enough you're a rabbi.
If they'll beat me for being a rabbi, let the rabbi have a sacred book with him.
Max, don't.
On those shelves, Sarah, I'm leaving what? Half my life. All I ever loved and that was written down in 4,000 years. They won't find the Megillah.
But why must you? Why?
Bitochon, Sarah. Bitochon.
The word is bitochon. It means faith. Yes, but more. It means certainty, assurance, trust, security. And more than that, it means leave a little to God. This is bitochon.
Bitochon, Sarah. Bitochon.
He rolled the scroll tight and it fit inside his coat or in the little knapsack they allowed him to carry. It fit. They didn't find it. He kept it with him, an ordinary Megillah that his father's grandfather had from a scribe, containing no more, no less than the story of Esther. He kept it. There were 3 Purims, the first in 1941. The Purim in the labor camp.
Then Haman said, "All this availeth me not, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew at the king's gate. Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and in the morning speak thou to the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon."
And 1942, the Purim in hiding, the Purim in the attic of an old friend's house. For Rabbi Miller escaped from the labor camp. And in the old attic, they read the Megillah.
Mordechai, Yehuda, Eskol, Asher Naso.
Now when Mordecai knew all that was done by Haman, he rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. And in every province there was great mourning among the Jews.
And in 1943, they were all in a ghetto. The women in one section, the men in another. And once in 4 weeks, he saw his wife. But not his children, for he could not risk that. The children of rabbis were a special joke for the Nazis. And that year, there was no reading of the Megillah. It was impossible. For they came at midnight.
Men 18 to 48 years, to the wall. Men 18 to 48, left face. Men 18 to 48, march.
Where, Rabbi Miller?
Another camp.
How do you know?
I know.
Did you see your wife?
I kissed her for the last time. Last night.
How do you know?
I know.
Have you got it?
Yes.
Where?
My right leg. Can you see it?
No.
You're sure?
It's like it's a part of you.
It is a part of me, Chaim.
Man 18 to 48! Halt! Man 18 to 48, into the cattle cars. Close the doors. Lock them. Start the train.
In a cattle car with room for 30. Nothing to eat for 3 days. No water. Then, one stale loaf of bread thrown in for 90 men. And then no water. No water. Men fighting like beasts and dying like animals. All the long ride from the prison camp to Kaufering. Kaufering. A name to set beside Dachau and Belsen and Auschwitz.
Kaufering. Kaufering.
Kaufering!
In the huts of cardboard surrounded by the electrified barbed wire, 30 lived where 9 would have stifled. Each wind beat them, each rain drenched them. Each straw heap lay foul and hot next to the other. And there were 2 miracles each morning.
We're alive, Chaim. Alive.
Why?
Because we aren't dead.
That was one.
Where is it?
In the straw.
Why do you keep it?
You said it yourself. It's a part of me.
It's really there. You're not saying it.
It's really there.
2 miracles each morning. Being alive and the Megillah. And then, because the Nazis are thorough and because they are scientific, they search the straw.
Up! Get up!
What?
Get up! What's in your straw?
Light.
Get up! Nothing in the straw. Do you hear me? Keep nothing in the straw.
A man gets to like his life.
What did you do with it?
He was standing on it.
What?
He was standing on it. I buried it last night.
How?
A man has hands. A man's hands are for other things. A man has hands.
And then they were sentenced to the cement works, the young man Chaim and the rabbi Max. Sentenced, for no one had ever lived beyond a month in the cement works. Up to the chest in cement you work, and if you slip, you slip. And if you do not slip, a guard will help you slip. There is a day shift and a night shift in the cement works. The day is 3 a.m. to 9 p.m. The night shift, 3 p.m. to 9 a.m., 18 hours. And Rabbi Miller said,
I pray for only one thing.
What?
Next week, that we work the day shift.
Is it better to die in the daytime?
Purim is next week.
Purim?
Purim 1945. If we work the day shift, we can read the Megillah in the evening.
What for? What for?
To read the Megillah as the commandment says.
What difference does it... does anything make?
I'm... it doesn't bother you if I pray. So then, I'll pray at the day shift.
It was the day shift. And 18 hours later, finally night came. The night of the 14th day of Adar. It came. They returned from the cement works nearly dead. They were given 3 minutes to get into their straw, and then the lights went out.
This is the night of Purim. This night.
I do not try to interpret. I only tell what happened. But that night, in each barracks, a package came. And when it was opened, the Nazis had thrown them in the doors.
Rabbi Miller, look. A Red Cross package. Food.
I do not try to interpret. I tell what happened. There it was, a few sardines, cigarettes, sugar. They divided it up among them. They let the sugar pour into their mouths slowly. And felt the strength and warmth go into their muscles and into their minds. To those who were the cigarette smokers, they gave all the cigarettes. Except each man kept one.
One cigarette for each of us. We'll keep it for after the reading of the Megillah in honor of Purim. In honor of the hanging of Haman.
They ate their Purim feast, sardines and sugar. And then all of them felt it. Some more, some less, but all of them to a degree. That it was right and fitting to read the Purim Megillah that evening.
There is no light.
There's even light.
A candle.
Beryl works in the kitchen. A candle for Purim. He wasn't asking so much. Light it, Chaim.
And then as they all watched, he lit the candle.
He dug into the earth and took out the Megillah he had carried so long. He opened the scroll and spread it out in the dirt.
Don't read it. Isaac Mendel is dead. Moses Menachem is dead. Heschel is dying. Benjamin, they hung. Tomorrow, we're all dead. Don't, Rabbi Miller, don't.
Vayehi b'yemei Ahasuerosh, hu Ahasuerosh, amolech mehodo ve'ad kush.
Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, that is Ahasuerus, who reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that the king did promote Haman the Agagite, and advanced him above all his princes. And they bowed down and prostrated themselves before Haman. But Mordecai bowed not down nor prostrated himself before him.
Your wife is dead, Rabbi Miller. Your children have been burned at Auschwitz. Don't.
And the king loved Esther above all women, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen.
Who is Haman? What is Persia? What is a gallows 50 cubits high compared to this? Persia is a paradise, and Haman is a saint.
So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said, "Whatever thy petition, Queen Esther, it shall be granted thee. Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed." Then Esther said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, let my life be given me and my people at my request, for we are sold, and I and my people to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high which Haman hath made. Behold the gallows which Haman hath made for Mordecai, who spoke good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman." And the king said, "Hang him thereon." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that were prepared for Mordecai.
And where is our Esther? Where is our Mordecai?
And Mordecai commanded concerning the Jews that the king had granted them in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, and to destroy and to slay and to cause to perish all the forces that would assault them, their little ones and women. And Mordecai went forth in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold. And the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor.
Stop it. Stop it, do you hear? Stop it.
This is the Purim Megillah, Chaim.
We're dead. You know it and I know it. What did the gods say? No matter what happens, no matter what, we die, all of us. They said it, us. You heard them. Stop it.
When the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, Chaim, Moses appeared. When they stood at the Red Sea, the waters divided.
These are Nazi bullets. Nazi machine guns. Nazi ovens.
When Antiochus had all but extinguished us, Judas Maccabeus was sent. When the remnant in Babylon was doomed, Ezra came.
This is Hitler Germany. This is 1945.
Yet the Red Sea divided, Chaim. Antiochus was routed, and Haman was hanged on a gallows 50 cubits high.
They put away the Megillah for that night. And by then the spirit of Purim had called forth their tears, and they had hope suddenly. And Rabbi Miller talked, as it might have been in 1935 or 1870 or years hence.
There was a proverb in my village of three reasons why God brought about Purim. That the Jews of Esther's generation might be saved, that the Jews of other generations might rejoice, and that Naphtali might earn enough to see him through Passover.
Naphtali?
He ran the Purim plays in my village. He had a son, Noah. This Noah. They called him Noah the Wastrel, Noah the No Good, Noah the Fool, Noah the This, and Noah the That. And then one year, Noah started carving. "What are you carving?" asked Naphtali. "Nothing," said Noah. "Fool," said his father, and he took the carving from Noah and shook it, and it made a noise like a rattle, like a very fine grogger. And Naphtali knew he could sell the groggers for 3 kopecks each and would have enough to tide him over Passover. So he changed the name of his son from Noah the Wastrel to Noah the Genius.
In the cardboard shack, in the midst of death, they smiled. Call it Galgen humor, as the Jews call it. Laughter of the gallows. But it sustained them. That and their faith. That and the legends in the songs.
Shoshana Siyako, Sohalo Veitome.
And they waited. 3 weeks later, I only report the facts as I know them, the Americans came and they were freed. Rabbi Miller dug up his Megillah and went out into freedom. And as you know, the 20th century Haman, who was called Hitler,
is no more. And the lesser Hamans, those were hanged in Nuremberg, almost as it is written in the ancient story. When he learned for certain his wife and children were dead in Auschwitz, Rabbi Max Miller came to America with his Megillah, and you can see it. It is to be seen. An ordinary Megillah, very plain, and you can see it. In it, you can read these words.
Shoshanas Yaakov, Zahalavis Amecho.
Therefore, the Jews ordained that they would keep these 2 days, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout each generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed.
And we sing the song of the Shoshanas Yaakov, the song of the rejoicing of the house of Jacob.
Shoshanas Yaakov, the love is a mevo, the rose of Yahad, the pelet for the vine.
Thou hast ever been Israel's salvation and their hope in every generation, to make known that all who hope in thee shall not be ashamed, neither shall any be confounded who put their trust in thee.
If you would like a free copy of the script you have just heard, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present Dr. Edgar F. Magnin of the Wilshire Boulevard Temple, Los Angeles, California. Dr. Magnin.
It is a pleasure to say a few words on the Eternal Light program. This program has made a place for itself in the minds and hearts of Jews and Christians all over the United States. Millions of people on the Pacific Coast look forward to it every Sunday with very great eagerness. The theme of the play today has pointed up the meaning of Purim, the Feast of Lots. The story is found in the book of Esther and describes the futile attempt of Haman to destroy the Jewish people. Haman was the precursor of all the Hitlers of all the ages. And like all the Hitlers throughout all the ages, he was destroyed himself. The reason Jews have survived is because those who would destroy them were men who would also destroy civilization. And civilization refuses to be destroyed. Jews have lived for a purpose, a divine purpose. They have preserved those ideals which are necessary for the survival, the happiness, the security, and the peace of mind of all mankind. I pray that the day may come when the Hamans of this world will be few and far between, when people will have sufficient intelligence and decency to know that they do not benefit themselves, much less others, when they go out to hurt innocent people. We pray for the day when real religion will enter the minds and hearts of all, so that it will operate in daily life rather than in mere lip service and pious platitude. When that day comes, there will be a great Purim on this earth, a day of great rejoicing. Thank you, Dr. Magnin. Our Eternal Light drama today, An Ordinary Megillah, was written by Arnold Pearl and featured Alexander Scorby as the narrator and Roger DeCoven as Miller. The Megillah referred to in our story may be seen in the collection of the Library of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. The music is composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katim. The liturgical introduction was sung by cantor Robert H. Siegel, and the entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. For a free copy of today's script, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This program is a weekly presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations
in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
Theological Seminary of America. For a free copy of today's dramatization, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.